Shalom, this is Billy Brim. I don't know. I tell you, it just puts something into me. I can just be walking around here or be kind of a little bit slow in the morning. And when I hear your voices, it just puts something into me. It's a strength. And today I counted 43 states. I didn't get Hawaii, so we had 44 last time. But this time she did get up that early, I guess. I want to welcome everyone. Of course, you, our dear friend in Belgium, we love you too. And you know, Sister Wilkerson, one time the Lord began to speak to her about the United States of America. And it was quite a supernatural thing. And he began with the eight states that begin with M. He would always start with something in the natural, and then he'd move to the spiritual. She did not know there were eight states that began with M. And then he said the three states that began by O, and with O, and he started through the United States. He said there would be a roll call of states, and state by state they would know blessing as they voted with the Lord. And I think it's interesting that we have, of the eight states that begin with M, we have seven of them on the line today. Maryland, Missouri, Michigan, Minnesota, Montana, Mississippi, and Maine. Now, I don't know which the other one is. I can't think right now, but praise the Lord to all of you. We're just so thankful. Of course, we have to begin with what the Lord told us to begin with. First of all, prayers, supplications, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for those that are in authority. And so we want to do that today, and we want to mention the things that they're really, really facing today. Afghanistan, as we know, that's our longest war that we've had, and General Mattis is there. And the Taliban shot off 40 to 45 rockets and rocket-propelled grenades landed near a passenger terminal at Kabul's International Airport less than 2 hours after U.S. Defense Secretary James Mattis arrived there. He had already gone, and it didn't hurt them. But this long war, and I was just with a friend, David Horton, and his son was killed in Afghanistan. So we need our leaders to know what to do about that. They need to know what to do about North Korea. Again, there's saber-rattling going on. And if they did put off a hydrogen bomb, it could, even if they were just testing it, it could send radiation, terrible radiation, throughout the area. There are, and regarding Israel, there was a terror attack. Three were killed, one seriously injured in a terror attack outside Jerusalem. Three Israelis were killed, this is 2 days ago, and one seriously wounded. Well, just yesterday, they're ahead of us. It was Tuesday morning in a terror attack in the town of Har Adar, just outside Jerusalem. According to the border police, the four were attacked during a patrol in the small community located west of Jerusalem. They were hit by gunshot and stab wounds. The Palestinian terrorist approached the town's gate posing as a laborer. When the people manning the gate grew suspicious of him, he pulled out his weapon and opened fire. So these are the things that our leaders face. We're going to get to some domestic things in just a moment. But right now, let's lift up our leaders for wisdom on the international scene. Heavenly Father, here we are again. Oh, it just thrills me, Lord, to know that this many people, these many representatives from around the world are here honoring your word, where you told young Timothy, pastor in Ephesus, and you gave him advice as to what his church should do and he should do. And the times were so terrible then, as emperors like Nero were in charge and Rome ruled over the Holy Land. And you said to pray first of all for them. Father, that's what we do. I don't know myself what to do about Afghanistan. It's gone on so long, Lord. And then the threat of North Korea, and then the problems that surround Israel, the apple of your eye, and have surrounded it ever since its founding, 70 years ago now. Oh, Lord, we lift up particularly President Donald Trump, his administration, Vice President Mike Pence, the cabinet, which makes up the administration. We lift up our senators and representatives, Father. We don't like the squabbling that we see there. Father, in the name above all names, we ask you to help them put America, well, of course, you first, but after that, their duty to country, their duty to the people that they were elected by and sent to Washington by. Father, we lift up the judicial. We pray, Father, that I actually pray that you'll remove all the unjust judges, that you'll take them out and take out those, Father, take them out of office and put in those that would lift up justice and right and truth, that that may prevail in this country. Oh, Father, in the name above all names, we lift up the government of Israel. They deal with things we don't know about. They have challenges we don't know about, but you know everything. Hebrews says that there's nothing that is not naked and open to you with whom we have to do. And so, Father, we pray today. They're in their high holy days, Father. Their thoughts are to be going to you. They are examining their lives as they approach the Day of Atonement and then the joyous time of Sukkot and the Feast of Tabernacles. Dear Lord, we do know that those who are against Israel, and that would be Satan and his prodding men and women and young people to hate Israel, we know he's behind it. And we know, dear Father, that he likes to do things around these days. I'm asking you, we're asking you, we're joining together that the Jewish synagogues all over the world and the Jewish seders and the Jewish meetings and all that they have, Father, in the name above all names, we're asking you that you would reveal any plots, that you would cause them to come to nothing. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah of the Jews, the King of the Jews, we ask you in the name above all names that you would cause to blow up in their faces, that you would cause to come to nothing any plots that are designed against them in this new year that they've just entered. We ask you, Lord, for blessing for Israel. And we ask you, Lord, for blessing upon all the Jews in America and all around the world. Heavenly Father, we really believe that we can affect Christians, especially Christians, with Migdal Arbel and our prayer and study center. Dear Father, once again, when I was meeting recently with Ophir Fisher and the young man and with a desire, and actually with really going ahead to develop the Negev and to develop Galilee. And I saw in his heart, Father, how you put it on these young people to further your course and further your plan for Israel. And as I talked to him and shared about Big Dollar Bill, it was just rose up in me, Lord, that we can do such a service to Christians, to the education of Christians in discipleship, in the land where Jesus developed discipleship, but also in God's Israel, in God's heart and their place through education and through prayer. And Father, this very prayer call came in the heart of Julie Cerrone because it rose up in her that we were not there physically in Migdal Arbel, but we can start the prayer part right now, and that's what this call is about. And so we lift them up, Lord. Oh, rapacita la donde, fernosche de barata de sobre, ilanda le braha soto de gohovraten in your nombre, calicadashka de anteria nanange. And Lord, we would come against any plans for a two-state solution which is dividing the nation, and which you said in Joel chapter 3, you would literally judge nations for. We don't want the United States to have any part in that. In the name above all names, we ask that our nation would remain on the side of God and would have no part in anything that is against God. We want this nation to be a sheep nation, Lord, and we lift that up to you today, and we do lift up our part in it, in Migdal Arbel. All those who have anything to do with making decisions about us this month, we hereby, in the name of Yeshua, we hereby say to Satan and his cohorts, you will have nothing to do with it. You cease and desist in your maneuvers against us, and the blood of Jesus covers the minds and hearts of all those who would have anything to do with making decisions concerning Migdal Arbel. And we do lift up, dear Father, those who have to do with the building of it. We lift up Ronnie Levy and his family. We lift up Ethan Cerrone and his family. We lift up all those who have anything to do with it and ourselves, Lord, that you would think through our minds and hasten the day, quicken the time that we will literally be over there. We thank you for helping us to decide the time for the Israel trip, which we will have in May. And we thank you for calling every person that you want to come to it, Lord, in the name above all names. And now, my dear friends, I want to go something that's been very troubling to me about our own nation, America, and that is the division. It's taken many forms, the Republicans against the Democrats, the far right against the far left, one thing after another, and now our national anthem, our flag. I know the story of the national anthem. I've been to Fort McHenry, and I heard the story told there at that War of 1812, and actually it was 1814. Francis Scott Key, a lawyer, had gone out. British ships were shelling Fort McHenry in America from offshore. And they had captured some Americans, and Francis Scott Key, a lawyer, had gone out to the ship to argue for their freedom. The British agreed to let them go, but they said to Francis Scott Key, you can't go tonight because you know our plans and what we're going to do against Fort McHenry. As he watched from the ship, he looked to see if that flag was still there in the morning. And then he wrote the Star Spangled Banner. The first verse, which we always sing, is a question. But there is an answer to it, and that's in the fifth verse. And in that fifth verse, it says it does still wave, because he saw it there in the morning. And he had a line in that fifth verse which says, praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. And we are thankful to God that he made us a nation and he preserved us a nation. And he did that through awakenings. I just was in Minnesota, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I was at Pastor Mack and Lynn Hammond's Living Word, and I was at Pastor Terry Farron's The Wells, and we just had wonderful meetings. And we have got to have an awakening. I told a story there of how in 2008, as we were praying about the upcoming election out at Prayer Mountain, God gave us a word, a powerful word. One thing will save America, and it is not the election. It is an awakening to God. One thing will avail for Israel and the nations. It is an awakening to God. And then he put thoughts in my mind to study awakenings, American history, and I found out about the Great Awakening. We were actually born out of the Great Awakening. Even a Harvard professor wrote, one cannot understand the colonial society that brought forth the Declaration of Independence without a study of the Great Awakening. So God has given awakenings. The difference between revivals and awakenings is revivals affect God's people, and they affect his church and his work, but awakenings affect the whole of society, the whole of a culture. In every one of the awakenings so far, there's been a presence of God, a tangible presence of God that you could feel in the streets. George Whitefield was one of the preachers of the Great Awakening, and Benjamin Franklin said of him, after he came to Philadelphia, Benjamin Franklin wrote, it was as if the whole city had been turned to God, and you couldn't walk down the streets without hearing hymns sung. We need a great awakening. And what just stirs me to this is that scripture which says, James 3:16, where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. So that evil work that we're seeing is demonic and is against the United States. It's against the people that he works through. When the enemy works through those that disavow our anthem, our flag, it's the enemy. And I'm going to read you James chapter 3. This is about wisdom. It can come from two sources. That means knowledge. And wisdom can come from God, and it can be an evil, twisted one. And so I'm going to read you that passage that James 3:16 comes from. It comes from James 3:13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, that means lifestyle, his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now, I'm going to read you that same passage from the English Standard Version. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Now I want to read you one more scripture from the English Standard Version. This is what our Lord said in three of the Gospels. Mark 3:24. If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. Now, did you notice that wisdom, the Bible says here in James, or you might say even knowledge, that comes from above is wonderful. But there is a knowledge that comes from beneath. King James says bitter jealousy, selfish ambition. This is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Actually, that's what the King James calls it, devilish. The English Standard Version calls it demonic. So we're dealing with demons here. Now, every one of you, and my goodness, you come from 43 states and Canada and Belgium and Europe. Every one of you have habitational authority to sit in your seat every morning and take authority over the demons in your area. And don't let them operate. Don't let them operate and drive the people to such things. Like, for instance, here in Branson, Missouri, terrorists would like to hit this town. We had 8 million visitors last year. They would like to hit us. My son, who's a volunteer fireman, and we have fire station out at Prayer Mountain, a lot of their training is against people because we're like a target. So in the mornings, every morning, I get up, and I know I have people on here from Prayer Mountain. We've got people from Missouri on here. And sit in my seat and do what Macmillan wrote in his book, Authority of the Believer, or what I wrote in my little book, Authority of the Believer and How to Use It. Sit in my chair and take authority over the demons that would try to operate in this area. So you can do that. And then all of us can pray for an awakening in America. We can have one. In my book, first of all, and I'm going to make it available to you today, this is my new book, First of All and the Awakenings. And in there, I talk about Finney, the great move of God. I don't go into a great deal about Finney, the awakening that came under Finney, but I go more into some others, but I do mention it here. The shops, the whole towns, everybody in the whole town was saved. He worked in New York. He worked in hard and challenging places. And an observer in New York City wrote, "Probably no man since the days of Whitfield ever stirred the minds of men in this city so widely and deeply in their relations to practical and personal religion as this great and good man. Preaching and prayer were his only weapons. He surrounded himself with an atmosphere of prayer and a body of devoted praying and working Christians. There was a man known as Father Nash who went ahead of Finney into the various cities and towns. This praying man prevailed in prayer, as did Finney himself. Prayer was always a part of every awakening. It always happened like this. You have to be dead or asleep to need an awakening, and that would be the case. That's what happened. Of course, the pilgrims came over here, and they were very awake to God. But then by 1730s, conditions had arisen in the colonies that they needed an awakening. And God sent the great, people began to pray, and God sent the great awakening. Then as things in America would wane towards God, people would start praying again, and they would get another awakening. Finney preceded what's known as the Great Awakening. And, of course, prayer was so much a part of Finney's move. Now I'm going to read something that I closed my book with, and I subtitled it, If We Do What They Did. A skeptic at a large flourishing high school in Rochester, New York. A number of the students attended the Finney meetings and became deeply convicted of their need for Christ. One morning after the meetings had continued for 2 weeks, the principal found so many students weeping over their sins in the classrooms that he sent for Finney to come and instruct them. Finney came, and the principal and almost every student were converted. More than 40 of the male students and a number of the female students in time became ministers or missionaries. One of the girls in that school became the wife of Titus Cohen. The Cohens went to Hawaii as missionaries, and 7 years later they were leaders in the mighty revival that came in full tide to Hawaii. I went to Hilo, Hawaii. I knew about the Cohens. I knew that that town, Hilo, actually sprang up from the mighty outpouring that Titus Cohen and his wife knew in Hilo, Hawaii. But here's what Titus Cohen said. Quote, "If we do what Finney did, then we can get what Finney got." He and his wife did it, and they got it. When I wrote of this book and all the awakenings God has graciously given our nation, I know that if we do what they did, we can get what they got. You wouldn't be on this line unless you were a dedicated prayer. And so I'm asking you to petition heaven for an awakening in America. If we awaken to God, and those who are so driven right now are awakened to God, and as I read about the Great Awakening, it was some of the worst ones in the town that got awakened first. So God can awaken those who are so given to these riotings. And I know that really our time has run out, and I do want to mention before I leave here that you can have the book. You can have our book, my new book, and I want you to have it. It normally sells for $12, but you can get it by calling this number and say you heard it on the Israel Prayer Call. If you call 1-800-972-3447, you can have my new book, First of All, and the Awakenings, for $10. You can have my little book, How the Authority of the Believer and How to Use It. You can have that for $2. It normally sells for $3. And I would invite you to order a lot of them and pass them out. So that's just by calling 1-800-972-3447. But right now, before we go, Father, here we are. We're all across America. We're even all across the world. Please send an awakening to America. Please, Lord, put it on our hearts. You stirred up the people to pray. You stirred up Jonathan and Sarah Edwards before the first great awakening. You stirred up Finney to pray. Stir us up, Lord. Stir us up like we've never been stirred before. Holy Father, that we know not teach us, that we see not show us. Show us how, Father, to get an awakening that will stop this terrible division. Holy Father, we love you. We adore you. We thank you, dear God, that you have translated us out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God's dear Son, the kingdom of the light. Holy Father, in the name above all names, because you told us to. You told us in Romans 5:17, that we who have received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life through one Jesus Christ. Holy Father, here I sit in the Branson, Missouri area, just close to Arkansas too. Heavenly Father, in the name above all names, I'm going to rule and reign right now. Satan, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth and you kingdom of darkness, I'm here on earth with an earth suit, so I've got authority. And I'm at the right hand of the Father in my Lord Jesus Christ. For when the Father quickened him, he quickened me. When he raised him, he raised me. When he seated him, he seated me. And from the high exalted position, I remind you that he translated me out of your dominion, and now you're under my feet. And in the name above all names, we'll have no satanic al-Rostadamakaya terrorists like Rostadamakaya. We will have, in the name above all names, I adjure you, cease and desist in your plots today toward Branson. You'll have nothing to do with Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks and the good works which we are called to. You'll have nothing to do with our noontime prayer meeting today. In the name above all names, you stay away from all of our equipment. You stay away from all the people. You stay away from it. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you stay away from me, spirit, soul, and body. You stay away from my family, spirit, soul, and bodies. In Jesus' lovely, matchless name. I want to tell you again how much I appreciate you. I appreciate your place in God, and I appreciate your ministry to me. I will be in Little Rock at Agape Church Sunday morning, and I want to say again that if you order the books, you do need to pay shipping. They want me to make that clear to you that it is my new book, first of all, and The Awakenings, $10 plus shipping, and the little mini book, The Authority of the Believer and How to Use It. Oh, my goodness, we got emails from people who in the hurricanes used their authority, and it worked. One lady said, I want Billy Brim to know it worked. She was in Florida, and everybody around her, and her place was saved. We got several of those. So, praise the Lord. Glory to God. I know you're doing it. So that's going to be the price of the books plus shipping. I love you, and I thank you, thank you, thank you for praying for an awakening to God. This is Billy Brim saying shalom, shalom for some of you until noon today, and for others until next week. Shalom, shalom.